It's the morning after the DevConf Wine and Cheese, so attendance is a bit sparse, but that's okay. We're doing this for the audience online and for the recordings that will be made available later. So Martin and I are members of the SPI Board of Governors, and we're here to provide a synopsis of our activities over the last year, and in the format of a BOF, and if there are questions either online or from the room, we're happy to take them at the end of the presentation.
So we also will describe a little bit what SPI is, because we cannot be sure that everyone knows what SPI is about.
So this is our agenda, and in fact, if we're going to give a little bit of a presentation about the purpose of SPI, perhaps we should do that before we dive into the board. Software in the Public Interest is a registered nonprofit organization in the United States, in the state of New York. We exist primarily to hold the tangible assets of member organizations. We call them associated projects. Debian is the largest, but we have a number of other ones. And by tangible assets, I mean cash in bank accounts in the United States, or trademarks, or patents. We don't have any patents yet, but we could hold patents for organizations. And our job, really, at the end of the day, is to do... we are here to provide accounts receivable and accounts payable services for these projects. That is the primary mission, if you will, of the organization.
Yeah, we also hold domains for several projects.
Sorry, yes, and domain names, which are also assets. So from Debian's perspective, we are only one of several trusted organizations. But for the other projects that we are the host, we are the only organization that they work with. So SPI started from Debian membership, but the people that stood it up understood that there was a need for an organization that could be pan or larger than Debian alone, could offer similar services to many open source organizations, whether or not they were small or large in size. So this is the agenda that we'll go through today. We'll start with the board composition and directors and officers and our meeting structure.
So we had some board changes this year. Jörg Jaspert, a long-term board member and vice president of SPI, resigned in mid of February, I think, and due to lack of time. And SPI, by its bylaws, allows that the board itself may appoint an interim director to the board, and Tyler Croy from the Jenkins project and one other person said they are going to stand for that, and the board finally appointed Tyler Croy as an interim director in March during its monthly online meeting. We were in the position a few years ago where, so usually board of directors is a three-year term. If you stand up for a board of director at SPI, you're getting voted for 3 years. And we usually have the board consists of 9 persons in total. And we usually have like 3 persons a year standing up for vote. That shifted a little bit a few years ago because of several persons resigning, and we were in the position where we suddenly had like 5 persons that needed to be voted on, and to go back to a 3x3x3 vote again, Luca resigned this year early to get reelected this year, so we in the beginning, so with a beginning term now in the with the next meeting in August, we are back to 3-3-3 again. So we had the The vote for the board of directors the last 2 weeks, three weeks. And the actual vote result came out on Friday last week, I think so.
Yep.
Yeah. Sadly, Tyler Croy was. Usually, you get you stand up for vote when you get appointed as an interim director. Sadly, Tyler Croy got re-elected. Stephen Frost got re-elected. Michael Schultheis got re-elected, and Luca Filippossi got re-elected for this year's vote.
So, thank you for all those people for nominating themselves.
Yeah.
And thanks for everybody who voted. I actually don't know what the voting statistics are in terms of the number of unique votes. I don't think that was included in the email, but...
Turn the mic on.
No, you're not live,
sir. It's on. I've got a green light. Yeah, okay. It was only about 40 people voted in the election. I think we've got somewhere between 200 and 300 contributing members at the minute who could have voted.
Yeah.
I did actually talk to a couple of contributing members who weren't voting, and they explained that they didn't feel they could make an informed decision. They didn't know any of the candidates well enough to be able to distinguish between them, and weren't particularly, oh my God, this candidate's amazing, or this candidate's someone I definitely don't want in, and that's why they didn't vote. So it wasn't that they weren't engaged, it was that they didn't feel that they could be voting for the sake of voting.
Okay.
So I did ask a few people.
So as of August 2018, then, the board of directors of SPI are the following individuals: myself, Stephen Frost, Jimmy Kaplowitz, Martin Michelmeyer, Tim Potter, Michael Schultheis, Andrew Trigel, hope I didn't butcher that name, Valerie Young, and Martin Zobohelas. And the officers currently are Martin, myself, Valerie, and Michael, but that changes in the next 2 weeks at our next meeting. Since we just had the election, we cycle the officers every year. The board elects its own officers from its membership, so from that previous slide, those are the people eligible to be the officers. And I'll finish with this one, and then we can switch. Board meetings, we meet every month online in IRC in the SPI channel. I just recently changed the configuration there, so you do need to be registered in order to speak in the channel because of the spam that we've been receiving. But we're there every month, and we advertise the meetings in advance and the agendas in advance on the SPI Announce mailing list, so please check that mailing list. The link is at the final slide, I believe. Finally, we do meet once per year. We started this in 2016, I believe. And the intent here is to spend some time together as a board, since some of us don't know each other, and to really focus on vision, strategy, roadmap, and operational concerns. It's, in effect, the SPI board sprint. We do it every year in New York. We are a New York registered organization, so it's appropriate to do it in New York. We currently meet at our lawyer's office so that we have client confidentiality, but we could meet somewhere else this year. We're talking about venues. But the intent is to have this sprint. So if there are things that you want us to be working on, now's the time to bring them up, because it's really during those sprints that we try to make progress on them.
Also, we try to keep the face-to-face meeting close to the vote we had, so we can actually do some onboarding with the new team members of the board. Sorry. Yeah, I looked up some of the membership statistics. We had over 500 active contributing members in 2016, and then this number decreased very much in 2017, but that's due to the fact that Jonathan did a membership ping to all of the contributing members, and a lot of contributing, well, at that time contributing members, either said they won't be active any longer, or they didn't respond to the pings. So that's the reason why this number decreased so much.
So the key point here is that we embarked on a membership cleanup over the last little while because we have a bylaw revamp, and the current bylaws are written in such a way that the quorum necessary to get revisions passed is extremely, the bar is very high. The next revision, the bar is lower, and we need a roster that reflects the active membership, so that when we send out the vote for the vote request for the new bylaws, we are not sending it to a population that we could never achieve quorum on because they're not active. So people may not have been active in the election of board officers, and your explanation was helpful. Thank you. But we really do need people to make an effort on voting on the bylaws. There are important changes in there, one of which is the quorum requirement for future bylaw changes. It will leave us somewhat paralyzed if we can never even propose minor bylaw changes and meet this enormously high quorum requirement.
And especially as a lot of active contributing members are Debian developers, please, if you see the vote on the bylaws, go vote. And vote on it.
So membership applications, SPI is not, membership in SPI is not limited to people who are part of an associated project. So you may make an application, you can become a non-contributing member, you can also make an application to become a contributing member. The contributing members are the ones that then are offered the opportunity to vote. It's the only real differentiating factor, but it's an important factor. SPI exists to support these organizations in their administrative responsibilities. So it's not as fun as some of the other duties that people might take on, but it's stuff that needs to get done.
You need to be an active member to be on the board.
And you need to be an active member to be on the board. We've had some changes in project roster. Freedom Box became their own
501c3,
and some projects ceased to operate, and we're in the process of cleaning that up to prepare some board resolutions to dispose of their assets, if any, etc.
We are already in contact with them. Some of them do respond, some don't. MedWiFi, for example, responded recently that they want their funds to be transferred to another SPI-associated project, which is fine.
And we have several that are seeking to be onboarded, but until that concludes, I'm not going to enumerate them on the slide. And this came, we didn't do a good job of getting all of these logos into the slide deck. This is from the annual report, the last page of the annual report.
Which has been published 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Just before the vote. So, again, Debian is the largest member of SPI, Associated Project in SPI, but we provide services to 40-plus organizations, some of which you may know or use even at home yourself, like OpenWRT or what have you.
OFTC, if you're on IRC, Postgres, for example, then there's Zero AD, the Zero AD game, Jenkins, for example, the LibreOffice, Open Document Foundation, Arc Linux, just to list a few.
Arc Linux 32 as well as onboarding. Okay.
I can give a little bit feedback of the financial position of SPI. We changed a lot regarding the treasuring process in the past 1.5 years. I'm becoming more and more assistant treasurer to SPI, and we also changed the way we are processing financial data. as it becomes more and more crucial to SPI, as we are holding a lot of assets, as you can see. We also moved a lot of money around, as you might see last year. Most of that is were two or three, no, actually three big conferences. One of was DebConf last year. The other two were LibreOffice conference and a conference from the XORG Foundation. And we had generous donations in the past years to both our associated projects and directly to SPI. So if you're looking at the total amount that SPI owns, that's more or less due to a very genius donation from Craigslist in the past, ongoing over the past 3 years. We hold a little bit more than $1 million in trust in total, whereof 800,000, nearly 900,000 with the associated projects.
So recent accomplishments over the last year, as Zobel mentioned, there have been financial process improvements. We're trying to get the annual reports out in a more timely fashion. We moved from the previous first-past-the-post kind of voting method to single transferable vote.
Which was actually in 2016, I think the this year was the first year where we actually voted with this vote mechanism. Last year we didn't have any vote ongoing because we had three officers up for vote. No, two officers up for vote and two officers standing, so we didn't need to vote last year.
We implemented a virtual mailing address and phone number, by which I mean there are services around the United States that offer the ability to accept mail, physical mail. They scan the envelope, you ask them to open it, they scan the content. If it's a check, we can ask them to deposit it at a bank. This has been very helpful because in the past we used to use a post office box close to Michael's house, and Michael sometimes didn't have an opportunity to swing by frequently. With this mechanism, Michael can deposit checks with the click of a mouse.
Which is done by, actually done nowadays by Martin Michelmeier and me. And we also get all the nice thing is we can also archive all the stuff that goes to our post address as a PDF. We directly get it scanned every time a letter comes in, so we actually have a track of what comes in and have that in a version control system. So we do have all the data at one single place now.
So it sounds like a minor thing, but it's been a pretty dramatic improvement to the flow of incoming donations. And we also have a Google Voice phone number. It only goes to voicemail at the moment, but we acquired that for identity verification purposes. So we've had a need in a couple of times to acquire an extended validation domain, extended validation X509 certificate for a particular domain. And the various registrars have different processes by which they do extended validation, some of which include phoning the organization at the number of their business. So they leave a voicemail, we call them back, and we tell them, yes, we really are the parent organization for Debian, at least as far as the United States is concerned, and we approve the release of a X509 certificate.
And also individual members of the board of directors have Google Voice numbers nowadays, which makes it easier, for example, getting in contact with a US bank without them asking why are you calling from a Japanese or German or Australian number, which they might consider as fraud.
So it's been interesting trying to explain to organizations the virtual nature of SPI, let's put it that way. and the fact that we're international in structure and we have board members that are not necessarily U.S. citizens. The last two sprints that I've attended, we've spent a lot of time and energy focusing on clarity of mission and governance improvements. So I led the conversation at this BOF by saying that at the end of the day, our job is to hold a pile of assets and to do accounts payable and accounts receivable. So that's the kind of position statement I've been making at these face-to-face meetings, and my fellow board members have come round to that viewpoint. We need to be able to do the basics of what SPI is intended to do before we step up and try to do other services for associated projects. So the last year has seen some process improvements. The DEPCOMP 17 reimbursement, for example, was different and was better. We've expanded the team of people to work on treasury-related items. It was just Michael at the beginning. Now there are nearly four people that do it on a regular basis. I've identified a staff member from the university where I work. She used to work for me, Sabrina. She does accounts payable and receivable as her day job, and she's now FBI to bolster the team. So what we hope to have over the next year is time amongst the new officers to spend time training. This is not working? Okay. Let me turn it off permanently. So what we hope to have is time over the next year to get Sabrina trained. So Sabrina doesn't know Git necessarily and doesn't know Ledger, so we need to get her in that direction. But in terms of helping us document policies and procedures around the reimbursement process and then actually executing the reimbursement process to the point where she's authorized to do the funds transfers is where we want to get to in the next year.
Also, one of the huge things we achieved in the past year is getting a directors and officers liability insurance, which is some sort of crucial in the US to have. So it took us a while to find an organization in the US that covers our 501c3 organization, but that finally worked out and that got signed, I think, October or November last year.
What does this cover? So, director insurance, we're personally liable for the activities of SPI directors are. And so director insurance is so that I don't lose my house if SPI gets sued by somebody and wins. Yeah. Because otherwise, why would anybody become an SPI director if they're personally liable for the activities of the organization?
And another thing that we have been working on the past 2 years are the new bylaws. They are got completely rewritten, and we had a lawyer reviewing the new bylaws, are actually helping us to write the new bylaws. And thanks to Jimmy Kaplowitz as board member and Ian Jackson being very helpful on the SPI mailing list to actually get the new bylaws in a way that the associated projects wanted, but also as the board wants to have it.
So again, please get out the vote. Okay, future objectives. Again, back to that idea that our primary goal is asset management and accounts payable and accounts receivable. We need to get away from the single point of failure. We've done that quite a bit with the now four board members doing the work. We need to document everything. So there's a lot of information in the head of Michael or TBM or what have you. We need to get that down on paper. We need to be able to survive a large-scale board transition without having to always go back and ask questions of previous directors. We need more rigorous processes. Right now, I think we don't transition, for example, all of the signing authorities of the bank accounts on a timely fashion. That's part of the reason for doing the face-to-face in New York, is so that if we change the officers and we want different signing authorities to match the officers of the organization, we can go to the three or four banks where we do business and we can do a signing officer change. We don't have a written expense policy, so the associated organizations might have an expense policy, but many do not. So the idea is that we would prepare an expense policy for SPI that would be applicable to all associated projects unless they wrote their own to supersede it. And that way we can get away from is this a legitimate expense or not legitimate expense kind of debate, which happens a little bit. It doesn't happen too frequently. But again, back to the idea of being more rigorous, we do need to write down what we believe is an appropriate expense for an open source
kind
of organization.
This becomes more and more important as the amount of SPI money, the amount of money SPI currently holds in trust. We will, in very near future, need to do an official financial audit of our bookkeeping, and they will probably also give us advice at what we can expense in which way, as we are currently doing.
So the intent is for the SPI policy to be applied to all projects unless the project writes their own. So Debian just has to write their own expense policy indicating what is appropriate or not appropriate from an expense perspective. This isn't meant to be draconian. This is just meant to cover cases where nobody has spent the time and energy to write their own expense policy.
We are working on more regular report. Recently, we got a little bit stuck with the monthly reports we try to publish because we needed to finish the annual report, which was a little bit of a hassle because one of our banking systems changed their API where we could get all the transactions from, and it took us like 3 months to get it in a way that we can automatically process it with Ledger, and this is one of the accounts which has the most transactions overall. So we had like, we started with like 500 to 600 transactions to process manually instead of automatically to get the financial report done.
And one of our other board members is keen on building the appropriate extracts from Ledger to then post them on our website in a password-protected space in order to allow for projects to go pull the reports themselves.
And as Luca already said, we are getting paid help to streamline the reimbursement process using RT and trying to document that workflow more.
So if you want to get involved with us, as mentioned, we have public meetings that are held monthly in the SPI channel on OFTC. The agendas are announced in advance. So if there's a topic that you want to discuss, please make sure that you reply to the secretary when the first announcement comes out so it gets added to the agenda. We try very hard not to add on-the-fly agenda items during the meeting because we feel that that is inappropriate for people who may have chosen not to attend the meeting because it didn't have a topic of interest to them. So we are formal, we publish agendas, we discuss the things that are on the agenda at the meeting. If you want something discussed, please let us know. Between those formal meetings, we are always on the mailing list or available in the channel. There are a variety of mailing lists, please check them out. And finally, of the board members, Martin and I are here. So if you have questions about SPI or you'd like us to address something, please seek us out. So, questions?
There was a question from IRC from Zumbi. Do you have a timeline for getting the website to publish reports?
No, it's just only started as a glimmer of a thought.
I actually would like to come back to report monthly, but report monthly as the monthly reports go, I can't say what the timeline will be for getting. What Hector is asking for is because I spoke to him here at DebConf yesterday, he wants to have the transaction for DebConf to be online on the website for DebConf to review. That's something we are still TBM is currently trying to extract that from Ledger per project, but we are not in a position yet where we can actually give out every single transaction to a project. I would also like to see that happen in the coming year. More questions?
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Any more questions, or are people still trying to wake up from last night's cheese and wine party?
Okay, I think we'll call it then.
Oh, there is one more.
One more question.
Question.
That's actually a good point. We could move them a little bit rather than having them always at the same time.
So yes. Currently, the online meetings are optimized in a way that all SPI board members can attend, and we do have two SPI board members from Australia getting up at, I think, 5 o'clock in the morning to attend the meetings. Some of us are just going to bed in Europe, and the others are in the
middle. I'm foregoing my lunch in order to attend a meeting. but it's a good point. We'll bring it up at the first meeting of the next meeting of the board as to whether or not we should have a bit of a moving schedule so that we can accommodate more people.
What you could do is bring that topic up on the SPI discuss mailing list. For the board members to look into that, if we can a little bit shift per meeting, so people from different time zones do have the possibility to attend at least a few meetings a year.
Thank you.
It seems we do not have any more questions. I do have a few stickers from SPI in the front, so in case you want stickers, just come to the front, take a few, and leave a few for others. Yeah, then, thank you, and catch us here if you do have questions which you do not want to ask now during the question session of our SPI BOF.
Thanks very much.